We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big 3 at 3, number one.
All right, the big story here today is Game 6, Clint, a chance to clinch. And this is an interesting fact before we dive into the game. Tonight, Clint, at Minute Maid Park, which opened up in 2000, right? This will be the 48th postseason game played at Minute Maid Park. They've just passed the Cubs, who've played 47 games at Wrigley Field, which opened in 1914. They've played more postseason. I mean, you talk about, we keep hearing the golden era right now. They played more postseason games here in Minute Maid than the Cubs have played at Wrigley Field. Now, I know the Cubs have sucked a lot, but my goodness, still, 1914 to 2000, that's how great the Astros have been in the last couple decades, Clint.
That's wild. I mean, the Cubs had an 86-year head start, and they just got lapped by the Astros, right? Yeah, I heard them talking. I think it was last night. Was it last night or maybe the night before? I don't remember if it was the Astros game or the Dodgers Braves game I was watching, but. They were talking about how many playoff games had been played in Fenway, and how many had been played in Yankee Stadium, and obviously they're double, if not more than where the Astros are right now. But they've had a lot more attempts at it. So I did not know the Astros were that rich. I knew they had done some really, really good things, and I knew that they were
amazing.
They were putting up some big numbers, but I didn't know it was that impressive.
It's amazing, amazing. But tonight is Game 6, and really tonight is about Luis Garcia, as it is and as it's been for every single Astros game.
You ever got on a motorcycle and turned the volume up as loud as you can like that?
Never got on a motorcycle, scared to death.
My man was on one of them three-wheelers, and he was literally three lanes from us.
As loud as it can.
I mean, that has to be crushing his ears, right?
Nah, he's fine. It crushed mine. I heard it so clear. I'm sure Jim heard it as well.
Everybody else did. We got a headset on, and I heard it clear as day.
Clear as day.
Oh wow, that guy's got must have a good size amp pushing him, like I had back in the day in my extended cab step side Chevy with them JL Audio 10s in the bike there.
That's right. Let's jump back on the tracks real
oh,
quick.
Oh my bad,
Luis Garcia. This is what tonight's game is about, Clint. What's the expectation for you? What do you need him to go tonight and would be at least satisfying and give the Astros the best chance?
I need nine outs. I'm not asking for too much. I'm through asking for a quality start. You know, I'm through asking for 6-3. You know, I need them to get this game. I need Luis Garcia to get this game into that 4-5-6 range for me. I don't care if it's on the lower half of that or the lower part of that range or the upper. I prefer the upper. I prefer 5 or 6. But if he can get me into 4, then I really like the Astros' chances. I mean, they are rested big time in the bullpen. You know, I got to think that everybody is guns hot except for obviously Framber Valdez and probably Christian Javier. I got to think everybody else is not just rested, but well rested, and so I like their chances, man. Not to mention that, look, he's on full rest. I mean, hell, what has Luis Garcia done in the last 10 days?
Rest.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing we probably hadn't talked enough about is Fromber came out there, made some adjustments on full rest and did work, and now Luis Garcia is on full rest. Hopefully he can make some of those same adjustments and get back to some kind of semblance to what he did during the regular season. So everybody appears to be rested. Everybody appears to be guns hot. This should be a game that, boy, if the wheels don't come off the starter in the first three and within the first nine outs, then the Astros are going to be sitting pretty, my man.
Luis Garcia, he is the key to the Astros advancing to the World Series.
Big 3-3, number two.
Make sure you stay tuned. It's time to put Jim Mudd to work coming up here in this segment. Your chance to win a four-pack of tickets to see Jake Owen at the Houston Open Concert Series at Minute Maid Park on Friday, November 12th. We'll give you a cue to call. You'll call in 713-572-4610, not at this moment, but I'll give you the cue and make sure you're listening, and Jim Mudd will take your information down and take care of you. But, Clint, the Texans have a game, and the injury reports are out. Jahlil Johnson with the back issue is not practicing today and isn't expected to play on Sunday, so they're down another defensive lineman. Ross Blacklock, who missed practice for personal reasons, is expected to play, so it's good that he returns. We already know they got rid of Whitney Mercilus, and we know from Lovie Smith they got eight spots. Yep. And nine guys are dressed, so maybe now they should have everybody to be able to get dressed. Justin Britt with the knee, Nico Collins with the foot. We talked to him. He already told us he's playing yesterday. And Chris Conley with the neck. They're all questionable but expected to play on Sunday. So, hell, it looks like with Danny Amendola expected to play, not even on the injury report, this may be as healthy the Texans have been in a while.
Yeah, it looks like there's certain positions getting back to healthy and having options like the wide receiver position. But Jahlil Johnson is the one that really sticks out to me. Is if he's not going to play, Ross Blacklock is coming off of COVID.
Yeah.
He hasn't practiced in two or three days.
Yeah.
He may be active for an emergency type situation, but I'd be shocked if he got any snaps at all, much less a noticeable percentage. So with Jahlil Johnson and Jahlil Johnson out, Ross Blacklock's got to be limited. He's got to be on a snap count. You got to think 94 Charles Omenihu is going to be in the rotation. And, this is one of those games where he needs to go out there and play. He needs to go out there and play well enough to where Lovie Smith goes, hey, I don't give a damn what practice looks like. We can't afford to take this guy off the field. He needs to be that much better than the other guys that have been out there. And so big week for Charles Omenihu if he does indeed get on the field. And I don't know, with Jahlil Johnson out, Whitney Mercilus out, gone, and Ross Blacklock coming fresh off COVID, I don't know how the hell with Charles Omenihu's not on the field.
No, it doesn't make sense at all if he isn't. But like you said, man, this is as healthy as they've been. Once again, Ross Blacklock didn't practice, but he is expected to play. Justin Britt, who they missed last week,
yeah,
he's expected to go. Nico Collins, hell, he already told it. He guaranteed us that he was playing.
Yeah.
Yesterday when we had him on, and Chris Conley as well.
Well, they're going to need Justin Britt. I mean, this is a game. Arizona's I'd say bottom third in run defense. They're really good in terms of total yards allowed. They're really good in terms of pass yards allowed. They're really good in terms of points allowed. But when you look at how statistically you should probably focus on attacking this Arizona defense, it's definitely on the ground. They're again one of the bottom third teams versus the run, and it's unfortunate that the Texans have really struggled running the football. But this may be the opportunity for them to get some semblance of a running game to help Davis Mills. If Davis Mills is going to have any success against this defense, they're going to need to run the football well. There's no excuse this week. You can't look back in hindsight after the game and say, well, this was a top five defense or a top 10 defense versus a run. No, they're not very good against the run. This is a week where the Texans have to relieve some pressure off of Davis Mills with that run game. And Justin Britt, the point is, Justin Britt being questionable is something that you hope they can get resolved, and you hope that he's in uniform on Sunday.
The best injury report the Texans have seen in a while as they get set for the game on Sunday against the Arizona Cardinals.
Big 3-3, number three.
All right, this is the time. Caller number four, your chance to win a four-pack of tickets to see Jake Owen at the Houston Open Concert Series at Minute Maid Park on Friday, November 12th. Call now, 713-572-4610. Caller number four, your chance to win that four-pack of tickets right now. Jim Mudd will take care of you. And the last thing here, Clint, when this is the latest episode of When Coaches Have to Go Up in Boldface Live. Miami Dolphins coach Brian Flores went up and said he reiterates his support for Tua and says he doesn't know anything about Deshaun Watson rumors swirling and that Tua is our quarterback.
Yeah.
Even for, I guess right now, yeah, but know anything about these rumors. Nothing about these rumors.
Yeah, look, I've
the look
said
on
this.
His face after they lost that game walking out of London.
Let me reiterate what it is that how I feel about this is there none of the teams that are even rumored to be interested in Deshaun Watson, not one of them, are going to choose to ride with the guy that they have at the quarterback position. They're just not going to do it. I mean, it's just the fact of the matter is Deshaun's that good. If somebody has the draft capital, if somebody feels like they have the ability to go get Deshaun Watson and they're in the conversation, their quarterback, their current quarterback situation is a non-factor. They will deal with that after they acquire Deshaun Watson. They'll move that player, cut that player, make that player a backup after they acquire Deshaun Watson. The coaches can say what they want to say. That's exactly what I expect Flores to say about his starting quarterback at this point in time. But if Miami, if they get a chance, which it sounds like according to a lot of sources around the city here that I trust, they got a chance, and it could likely happen within the next few days. So we'll see.
That's it. Robert Flores, MLB Network, joins us coming up next. And how and what does Luis Garcia have to do for the Astros to have a chance to close this game out? We'll get that from Robert Flores coming up next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's Sports Radio 610, live from outside Minute Maid Park at the corner of Crawford and Congress for tonight's Game 6 of the ALCS. Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, here we go. Back here live with our guy, Robert Flores. Nobody better to have us here as we get ready for Game 6. And it could be a closeout game for the Houston Astros. Robert Flores, our guy, who's got a huge weekend for him. You got Arizona coming in with DeAndre Hopkins and J.J. Watt to play your Houston Texans.
Oh, my God.
I know you've been thinking about that. I know you can't wait for that. The baseball playoffs are in full effect. Let's look at this one tonight, man. After Framber put together the best performance of a starter in this year's postseason, Luis Garcia said that he saw some things from Framber that he wants to try to replicate. What changed there, and is that something that Luis Garcia can do?
Well, I think the biggest thing that Luis Garcia can take from Framber Valdez is to attack the Red Sox hitters, attack the strike zone. Now, I'm not saying when you hear people say attack the strike zone, you're not, these hitters are too good. You're not throwing it right down the middle, but that's why the job is so difficult for these pitchers, not only in the playoffs, but really at the major league level. You can't miss over the heart of the plate, but there are parts or quadrants of the strike zone that I think you can attack, and I think that's what we saw with Framber Valdez. Get strike one, and that seems to open up everything else in your arsenal. And I think what Luis Garcia can take from that is, hey, I'm going to attack. I'm going to make them put the ball in play. Hopefully they don't hit it 800 feet, but I'm not going to be walking dudes and giving them free passes, if at all possible.
Roflo, what about the Brent Strom after three straight young pitchers, Framber Valdez and Luis Garcia and Jose Urquidy, got absolutely shelled and knocked off the mound early in ball games. Brent Strom kind of indirectly mentioned maybe they were tipping some pitches there. You think that was something that may have been a big problem for one or more of these guys, and that's why it could be different this second time around this series?
Clint, it could be, man. These guys, you're talking about these teams, these players and coaching staff, they're very good at picking up pitching. Now, just to be clear, I'm not talking about doing anything nefarious or against the rules. I think whatever happens on the course of a diamond, if a pitcher is tipping his pitches, that's fair game. If that's whether that's picked up from second base or in the dugout, that stuff is fair game. So if that quite possibly could be it. And I think that the Astros have a pretty good staff of knowing when, suspecting, hey, maybe our guy is tipping some pitches, and they made the necessary adjustments. But I really think you're going to know early on what this game's going to look like from both Luis Garcia and Nate Eovaldi, because remember, we saw him a couple of days ago coming out of the bullpen.
Robert Flores, MLB Network, joins us here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Let's stay with that. Nate Eovaldi or Eovaldi, I've just butchered his name. I don't know if it's E or U. Is it Eovaldi? It's Eovaldi. Nathan Eovaldi.
Yeah, Eovaldi, I think, is down south, isn't it?
That's his Texas roots. He knows where Eovaldi is.
But no, you talked about Nate Eovaldi, and he pitched, and he threw 24 pitches. And they've tried to say that's a bullpen, like, side session. Man, that stress and that inning is not like a side session. He's their ace. Do you see this to a point where he can shut down this lineup, or do you think the Astros, being able to see him, have a good chance at get to him tonight?
So this is why I think these next two nights, two, if necessary, are so unpredictable, because I don't know. I don't know what Luis Garcia is going to give the Astros. I don't know what Nate Eovaldi is going to be able to give the Red Sox. Yes, he has come out of the bullpen before. He did it in 2018, helped them to a World Series. He's going to have to do it again tonight. But remember, he's coming off a pandemic-shortened year where he only threw 40-something pitches. So is that going to affect him? Mm. Clint, as you mentioned, if you're watching the game, you can hear how much effort Nate Eovaldi is putting into each pitch.
Yeah, he's a grunter.
It comes through. Yeah, that was not a side session. So it's going to be, like I said, you're going to know right away what he has. He is perfectly capable of going 7 2/3, 7 strikeouts, and 1 run. He's perfectly capable of that. If that happens, the Astros could be in trouble.
Roflo, another part of Eovaldi is I mean, this is going to be the third time the Astros hitters have seen him. And yeah. And the meat of the lineup has seen him. We all know that in a six-game series at this point, that could mean a lot, man. Hey, with the Astros, I'm just curious, which moment do you think right now in the ALCS, which moment was bigger for the Astros? Christian Javier in that mm-hmm. 3 innings that he pitched, I believe that was game 4, or you think it was Framber Valdez in the 8 innings he pitched in game 5?
I mean, Christian Javier, at the time, I thought he saved the Astros' bullpen, certainly, and he might have saved the season. But I think what Framber Valdez did, he was just masterful. And especially, hey, easy back there, easy on the horn, easy.
That's right.
It's just considering what he looked like in game 1. So I think it's Framber, but man, don't sleep on Christian Javier and what he has meant for this bullpen. And I will be glad when he's back in the rotation next year.
Robert Flores, as we are out here live on the corner of Congress and Crawford across the street from Minute Maid Park, getting set and getting you ready for game 6 tonight. And I'm curious, I felt like this to me, one of the differences in this series and why the Astros have a 3-2 lead is, it feels like to me Dusty has outmanaged the draws off of Alex Cora in this series. The reason why they're going to see Eovaldi for a third time, which was odd to me, why he was brought in that game, like a sense of desperation. Are you sensing that, that Dusty Baker's getting the better of this?
That's hard to say because if Alex Cora calls Nate Eovaldi in that game out of the bullpen and Eovaldi shuts the door, then are we still having this conversation? Are we still talking about this series, or is it over? Maybe you can quibble with Cora allowing Chris Sale to face Yordan Alvarez for a second or third time with a base open. But to be fair to Alex Cora and the Red Sox, Chris Sale, that's the best he's looked post-Tommy John. No one got to Chris Sale the other night, really, except for Yordan Alvarez.
Yes.
So it's very easy to play Monday morning quarterback, and hindsight is 20/20. But Dusty has made some good moves as well. The move to get Zach Greinke out of there, Christian Javier. I mean, all these decisions, it's so difficult to judge them because they don't happen in a vacuum. Often one decision leads to another. So it's very difficult, and it just shows you how evenly matched I think these two teams are right now.
Roflo, this series has been full of moments that you can say the intangibles of this clubhouse, the leadership within this clubhouse has been a huge part of their ability to not fold, the ability to come back.
Yeah.
Is there anything? And we've talked about this before. Carlos Correa is a huge part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that you think Carlos Correa can do in the next, I don't know, potentially nine ball games that could sway Jim Crane one way or another? I know we don't know Jim Crane in terms of where his head's at, but do you think that the next 9 games, that there's anything that guy can do to move the needle on Crane to open that checkbook a little more?
I mean, if you're talking about basically asking, would Jim Crane spend any amount of money to keep Carlos Correa? I don't know the answer to that. My guess and my hunch is that he won't. My guess is that the price for Carlos's services are going to be so high that he will price himself out of the Astros market. I'm not saying the Astros aren't a high revenue club and aren't a big market, because they are. They are a big market club. So if you hear some nationally talking about, oh, look what the Astros have done, they're not a big market team, baloney. They are a big market team. Houston is a big market city, but at some point, I think Carlos Correa is going to get a deal that's in the high $200 million, if not $300 million. That's what I think. So if you're driving around your car right now and you've got a price in your head for what Carlos Correa is gonna get for a contract, just know that it's going to be higher than you think. And that's why my gut says We're seeing him his final games in an Astro uniform.
All right, I refuse to give up hope. Robert Flores, MLB Network, just really took a real kick right into the nuts right there for Robert Flores.
Hey,
on
things
that.
Could change. Things could change. We'll see.
No, you already said the truth. I appreciate you joining us, man, and hopefully we're talking to you next week about World Series.
Hey, Robert, real quick, man, and I don't want to put the cart before the horse here, but if the Astros – do wrap this series up, man. When you look forward to the World Series, who do you if you're the Astros, who do you want to see, the Dodgers or the Braves?
You want the Braves. I don't think you want any part of the Dodgers. I know they're physically not right, and they're missing two of their big bats, Max Muncy and Justin Turner. I don't. You're not going to see either one of them.
Or
the
Joe
pitching
Kelly.
Staff. Joe Kelly is out. Clayton Kershaw is still out. But Max Scherzer is still healthy, and so is Walker Buehler. And Julio Urias is still nasty, and Brusdar Graterol is throwing about $1 billion, and it's moving all over the place. So I think if you're the Astros, you wouldn't mind it go seven. Let those two teams beat the hell out of each other, but you take the Braves.
All right, Roflo, man, we enjoyed you as always, and appreciate you, and enjoy the game tonight.
Hey, you got it. And remember, guys, no matter what happens, when the Astros season's end, now we can all focus on the Houston Texans. Here we
That's
go
right,
now.
Baby. That's
Let's
right,
go.
Baby. And we got every game right here on Sports Radio 16.
Yes, sir. Let's go.
I appreciate you, Florida. Coming up, Sean Pendergast joins us. Who should be the starting catcher tonight, Maldonado or Castro? We'll discuss that next.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's Sports Radio 610, live from outside Minute Maid Park at the corner of Crawford and Congress for tonight's Game 6 of the ALCS. Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
Sean Pendergast joins us, hanging out with us. John McClain, the general, he's in the building. He's coming up for the entire 4 o'clock hour.
I'm warming up John's chair.
Are you? You warming him up, man. You out here feeling good out here with the cigar out here. It's
Absolutely.
A party out here, boy. You
Hell
bringing
yeah.
out a cigar, saw you with a bullet.
Yep.
I mean, having a good time out here. All right, I'm going to throw this out to you, fellas. Evaldi is pitching tonight. The last time he pitched, the person that got the big hit on him ultimately came close to knocking him out. Now, he walked Altuve, and that got him out of the game, was Jason Castro. Tonight, Luis Garcia on the mound. Who should be the catcher tonight? Who should start at catcher tonight for the Astros in this game, in Game 6?
I say this as the biggest Jason Castro apologist at the station. I think Seth gets angry with how much I stick up for Jason Castro. I've been campaigning for him for the Astros Circle of Trust on Payne and Pendergast for months now, mostly on the strength of his pinch hitting. And I feel like I've been vindicated in that regard. However, I feel like the bats are getting going enough 1 through 8, and you're back at home. And Garcia, these young pitchers, I feel like there's something about Maldonado that keeps Fromber and Garcia and Urquidy and McCullers, when he's healthy, kind of keeps him kind of even-keeled. I feel like there's enough good going on offensively with this baseball team right now, and especially now that you're back at home, that I would start Maldonado. And I think I haven't seen has a lineup come out yet. Do we know?
I hadn't seen it yet.
Okay, like I'm somebody who loves Castro, and in that when he got that hit in the ninth inning against the Red Sox, of course I tweeted, well, there's your new catcher, you know, something along those lines.
I did too. I did this. I said he needs to start the next day.
Well, and then what happened in the bottom of the inning show? Pass ball. Guys go to second and third. And I'm like, okay, well, there's a reminder that there is a reason why Maldonado's out there. Several, actually. It's just hitting's not one of them. So I acknowledging full well that Maldonado is basically like having a pitcher hitting in your lineup, I would say Maldonado.
Well, the lineups are out, and Maldonado is starting tonight.
That's no surprise.
He is starting. Chaz McCormick, the revolving door in center field, continues. He is the center fielder today.
He started game two also against Uvalde.
Yeah. So that's it. Because yesterday you were Castro, right? For game five you were Castro. Where are you now? Because Uvalde, he's a tough pitcher for them, and Castro sees him well, obviously. Yeah. And got the huge hit on him. Where would you have gone today?
I'm back on Maldonado as well. I think the knee jerk reaction to Castro being the guy was based heavily on the fact that the 1-3 hitters were just really struggling at the plate. Yeah. And look, I know Altuve. He's got three hits in the series. I mean, Altuve is not. He's not lighting the world on fire, but he did have a hit last week. Bregman had two. Two days ago. Bregman had two walks, so he was on base and active, and Brantley had two hits. And so there is activity at the top of the lineup, and those guys are coming around. And so I'm in the same spot there. If the bats that are typically carrying you are contributing, not necessarily in a major way, but at least contributing, and they're on base and they're creating action, then I think you got to ride with Maldonado with what he brings to the plate, especially with a young pitcher on the mound that you need as much stability around him as possible, and you need him to have confidence that he can break one off in the dirt with a guy on third or a guy on second or with base runners on. Yeah. He needs to have all the confidence in the world that his catcher's got him in the right spot with the right pitch at the right time and can protect him with runners on base. So I would go with Maldonado at this point in time too.
Yeah, it says absolutely right, Sean, from the text line. If there was going to be a game, it would be this one. I thought Framber, as many times as he throws breaking balls potentially in the dirt, I watched Castro in that ninth inning let an easy one get right between his legs. I was like, hold on, maybe I need to back up off of that a little bit. I think I'm with you guys that they needed a spark is why I kind of thought. You might want to start him in game five.
Well,
they needed a spark, and it looks like late in game four they found it.
Yeah.
And they're in a better spot with the line.
I think when you were on with us, Sean, last time over at Kirby Ice House, you made the point of the need to move to Castro is because your eight-hole hitter, which is Siri, McCormick, Myers, whoever it may be, those guys have done well leading up to this point, but I believe Siri was coming off an 0-3 night in the 8-hole. And then Maldonado obviously batting damn near – is he sub-100? I know he is in the series.
He's got one hit in the series.
But I'm talking about on the season and the postseason.
On the postseason, one hit against the White Sox.
Okay, so the point is you had an 8-hole hitter, a 9-hole hitter, and then 1-3 really struggling. You had over half of your lineup.
Yeah.
That was suspect at that point in time. So that's why I made the knee-jerk reaction of, hey, look, you got to do something in that spot to get a little bit of action. And so that's clearly not the case right now, and I feel better about Maldi back there.
I do too. And I think this is where Dusty's coming from. And the more we talk it through, when we were talking the other day, those guys weren't hitting at the top.
Yep.
It's not like they're crushing the ball now, but they've come up with some more hits. They've certainly come up with timely hits. And I think – this is what it comes down to, guys, with this team, particularly the core hitters in this lineup, 1-7, and I'll even narrow it down to just 1-3, Altuve and Brantley and Bregman, guys who've been, it's Altuve and Bregman have been doing it forever for this team through this title window, is I almost feel like you leave them where they are and you hope they start hitting because they're so good and so clutch that eventually they're going to hit. Show, when you were asking me the other day, you were bringing up the fact that Altuve is killing this team right now, and statistically he was, but I just feel like it's Altuve, and at some point, whatever happened in those previous 15 at-bats, in that moment, in that at-bat, doesn't matter, and sure enough, he hits the tying home run in that game when we were there the other night. So I just feel like you can't overmanage the rest of the lineup based on being concerned about what the core guys are doing, because you just have to count on the fact that eventually they're going to hit, and they've started hit. What's going to get interesting, and the audience might get mad at me for this because I'm putting the cart ahead of the horse. What happens when they play in a National League ballpark in the World Series and you've got Maldonado in the lineup? Because now you got Maldonado and a pitcher hitting. You basically got two pitchers hitting at the bottom of the lineup now. Like, that's a – and again, they're going to use pinch hitters at some point probably throughout the game.
And do you feel like also with that, either Brantley or Alvarez has to sit?
Well, one of them will have to, right?
Because unless you want to get freaky and go and let's put Tucker in center and put those guys on the corner outfield.
Which, you know where I'm at.
I know you are.
Which maybe what they end up doing.
Well, it's got to be Brantley Tucker and Alvarez in the outfield. Yeah. I mean, you just can't, especially the way Alvarez is swinging the bat.
Maldonado is going to be in the pitcher.
Yeah, yeah. Like Alvarez, boy in the audience right now, is like, guys, eat what's on your plate. It's the ALCS Game 6, and we're planning the series with the Braves and the Dodgers.
I'm looking over at that next plate.
Yeah, yeah. So, look, Alvarez ain't coming out of the lineup. Like, Alvarez will play left field, but we'll eat Game 6 tonight.
Guys, talking about Game 6, man, I mean, here's what – since we're talking about the 1-3 hitters and what we've seen from them in the last game has been, okay, well, we won't worry so much about whether the catcher's Maldonado or Castro in terms of putting a better batting lineup. But the truth of the matter is the top of this lineup has not helped this baseball team. I mean, there's been moments, don't get me wrong. I mean, like you said, Altuve's had a couple of – but when you talk – like you can sit here and look at
– beneath.
Oh, you can look at the series. You can look at the entire series and say that none of those three guys, Bregman, Brantley, Altuve – are even remotely close. Meeting expectations. Yeah. Yeah. Like, you expect those guys to hit 300,
yeah,
right? I mean, they're not doing that. They're nowhere close. And my point in saying that's not – I'm not banging on them. My point in saying that is if these guys play long enough, it's just a matter of time before they come out of their shell. And good gosh, if
and
they do
started
that.
They've started to in the last couple of – Michael Brantley in particular,
yeah,
has started to come out of his shell and has started to hit to get more hits. Real quick, some news on tonight.
Yeah.
This from Dusty Baker. He says Jose Urquidy and Christian Javier are probably not available tonight. So okay. That kind of signifies the game plan of what tomorrow looks like.
Yep.
Right? If there would be a game 7, which they're hoping to avoid, if there would be a game 7, those two are the is the game plan.
Yeah.
And then in this particular game, right, you manage the pen accordingly. Right, I mean, if it's a tight ball game, or obviously if you're winning, then you just empty the clip. But if you get into 6 and 7 and it's a game like we've seen Boston win previously, then all of a sudden you may keep some guys in your back pocket in the pen
and load
up for them tomorrow with Urquidy and Javier. So I like it, man. I love when a plan is obviously rolled out. We'll see how well they execute it. We'll see if it works. But ultimately, I like when we can sit here and chop it up and break good bread and go, okay, well, this appears to be what the Astros are going to do tonight. And if they have to tomorrow in Game 7, we can see which direction they're going there as well.
And with that, I'm curious, fellas, how long do you let Garcia go? Like, at what point, what's the scenario where you're like, you know what, I'm pulling him. Like, I'm going to go get him. At this point, because I don't know if you want to let him give up. Like last time you came out, it was 4-0.
Yeah.
And then he gave up a walk, and then the injury, I guess, peaked his head. But, like, at what point tonight, Game 6, I understand it's not must-win for you.
Yeah.
But Game 6, like, at what point are you not going to allow the game to get away from you with him?
Well, I think it's
about – you got a short leash with him?
Yeah, I think it's about the type of contact he's giving up early in the game. You know what I mean? It's maybe not so much about is he getting guys out. It's what type of contact is he giving up? That would dictate how long my leash is with him, I think, with Garcia.
You know,
I don't have a set number of pitches or innings or whatever. Yeah. It's more about what does it look like.
Yeah, that's one thing that if you look back at Garcia, especially recently, hell, really all year long, if you're watching every single game, you've been able to tell pretty quickly whether these guys are getting a beat on what the hell Garcia is doing.
Yeah.
I mean, they are very confident, and they're picking and choosing which strikes they want to swing at, and they're getting really good wood on it. As my man Roger Clemens said, these guys can get wood on a bullet if you give them an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, looking back on Luis Garcia, you can tell that pretty quick.
Yeah.
I mean, he's either got hitters off balance, you know, he's got guys getting ahead of hitters, or boys getting behind him and they're getting good wood on it. So we should be able to all see it pretty early.
It's amazing that they're up 3-2 in this series. It's
unbelievable.
You know what I mean?
They define every piece of logic that I would think postseason baseball had.
If you handed somebody just like 2 or 3 facts about this series and said they've played 5 games. In 4 of the games, one of the teams has not had their starter get through the 3rd inning. Three of them ain't get through the 2nd inning.
Right.
20 outs.
20 outs from their first start. Total, 20 outs from their starters in the first 4 games. The other team hit 3 grand slams already in this series. And your top 3 hitters, So, you know, to the point you guys have made, whatever.
At one point, we're 6 for 45 at one point.
Right, and it's not.
Altuve's got 3 hits in the series.
Yeah, yeah. And if you handed somebody all those facts and said, and they played 5 games, I'd say, okay, well, they lost 4-1. Like, the series is over. Why are we sitting in this parking lot?
They've had bad errors as well that have come back to haunt them. Things that you're not play clean defense. They've not done that. Good starting pitching.
It's really impressive. And you've touched – I've heard – I'm just standing over your listening show. I mean, you've touched on this a few times. Like, Dusty Baker has managed his ass off in this series.
No, he has.
He's done an amazing job in this series.
This is the second time. We talked to Tony Gwynn yesterday, and we talked to Robert Flores, and I think they're being nice. I'm sorry. I don't care what analytics say. With Chris Sale, the only person that hit Chris Sale hard in the game was Yordan Alvarez, once over the Green Monster and then once off it. There's no way in hell with runners on second and third with a base open that Dusty would allow him to pitch to him again. Like, I don't care what – I don't care lefty. I don't care how hard he's throwing. He's obviously seeing him well.
Yep.
And he panicked with Eovaldi pitching him in game 4 like they were trailing in the series.
Yep.
So don't give me that. That's been a key difference in this series, and everything. And I don't even know if Dusty's doing it on purpose. This musical chairs in center field is happening, but it's working. Whoever he puts out there seems to be productive.
Well, he's pushed every right button in the bullpen. Too,
absolutely,
you know. So
I give him credit on that. Sean Pendergast with us, Clint Sterner. No, Sean, I want to hit you to hear this real quick.
Okay. Whitney,
I got to get your thoughts on this real quick. Whitney Merciless spoke to the Green Bay media and kind of expressed how he felt the Packers organization is, and it seemed like he was comparing it to the Texans. This was Whitney Merciless.
Felt great out there today. Feels like revitalized. The youngness in me is back, you know, because you have a new environment. You feel the vibe of the team. It's not heavy. It's not a heavy cloud or anything like that.
Does that come from going from a team that maybe isn't going that same direction to now you are on a contender?
Yeah, definitely. That definitely contributes to it. But also the mentality as far as like from top down, from I'm talking about tippity top all the way down, everybody's on the same page. You know, they invest into their players, into people. When you've got a mentality like that, you want to invest back into that. So to experience something like that is awesome.
How'd you feel about that, John?
Okay, my initial reaction to that is my initial reaction to that is to preface this by saying it's going to sound like I'm taking up for the Texans, and I'm not. I think Whitney makes some valid points in there about the dark cloud and he's just sort of alluding to all of the various weirdness and dysfunction that goes on. I think those are valid points. However, Whitney, especially when he uses the word investment. I mean, come on, dude. Like, the investment in you is one of the reasons why they're 5-17 over the last 2 years. That was the worst contract. That might be the worst contract that's been given out in the history of the organization. And this is an organization that signed Brock Osweiler and gave out several – that signed Ed Reed when he was washed at the end. That Whitney Merciless contract, I mean, his cap – they're going to be carrying another $7 million next year for Whitney Merciless. So what I hear – guys, like when I hear Whitney Merciless saying, you know, complaining about this regime, nobody benefited more from the regime that he is talking about than Whitney Merciless, you know. And it's just, I again, the points he's making are, I think there's validity to the points. It's just you're not the one who should be talking about this, dude.
Well, I knew when he used the term investment, I was like, boy, Sean's mind's fixed to be spent.
Landry played it for me over the phone last night. He's like, have you heard Whitney yet? Landry calls me up. He says, have you heard Whitney yet? No. I mean, I heard one cut. He's like, have you heard this one? He holds his phone up to the computer.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, you got to be kidding me. Landry's like, oh, Sean's back.
It's triggered. Yeah. I knew you'd hate that.
Yeah. And I like Whitney. Like, Whitney is one of the friendliest people you're ever going to meet. I'll say this. He's made way too much money, but at least he invests a lot of it back into the community. Yeah. Like, he's very generous. But to sit here and act like somehow he was done wrong somewhere along the way by the Texans, like that's absurd to me.
Yeah, I think in the way I heard it, I think he's referring to investing back onto the field with hard work and sweat equity and that kind of thing versus necessarily dollars. But I knew that word right there would be an absolute trigger.
I hear
I
dollars.
Think he's certainly speaking his truth, it seems like. Yeah. Like what he
believes. Well, it's just,
I
tell you.
And I think you agree. I think that is, some of that is the truth.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
From the tippity top.
There's no question I think it's true. And when it's just a bad, when you look at it from a different angle, just a different perspective, it's bad for the Texans to have two guys like Randall Cobb and Whitney Merciless leave your organization when you've really done well by them. and they leave your organization and they talk about the locker room essentially and the vibe in the building being like jail, that's tough to overcome.
I literally was listening to Landry play that Whitney cut for me while I got an email from the Texans where the subject header said, "Thank you, Whitney Merciless," the team. And I'm going, yeah.
He's doing him no favor with those kind of comments, which I don't know that I blame him, but he's doing
him
no favor.
He's not. Like, I don't think he's revealing anything that people don't already think about the team, though. That's the thing. It's more just piling on at this point. But hey, man, wish him all the best. You know,
That's Sean Pendergast coming up next. The Hall of Famer.
Get me all riled up, Joe.
It's too hot out here for that.
It's game six.
I've done my job. Sean Pendergast is out of here. John McClain, he joins us next. The general. As he does each and every Friday in the 4 o'clock hour. We know he's juiced about game six tonight.
Oh, he came in the parking lot yelling out the window.
He's ready to go. But there is a football game to go Sunday, and we can't get away from the bomb that he dropped. Everybody's been talking about John McClain all week. The general coming up next.
I'm talking about tippity top.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.